Psalm 40, for the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He has set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done. And thy thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with thee. If I would declare to speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written, is within my heart. I proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. O thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, Aha, aha. And all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Amen. This Psalm 40 is a psalm of deliverance on one part, but it's also a psalm that leads to his coronation. And so you can see kind of the overflow of this. I actually first thought or read about this psalm actually because of a rock band. If some of you guys, I know many of us older people would typically be fans of U2, and U2 had a song called 40. And if you listen to the song, it's actually a direct quote of Psalm 40. You know, I will sing a new song. This is a Bono's worship tribute, basically. You know, all the members, most of the members grew up as Christians. And some would still say that they're still Christians in this day, particularly the drummer, or Larry Mullen Jr. In any case, I'm not here to talk about U2. But it's the theme of this psalm is really in verse 8. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. And a huge chunk of Psalm 40 actually is messianic prophecy. And I'll get to that in a little bit. So he starts the psalm off, and he uses a Hebrew literary device of compounding words. And so he says, I waited patiently. In Hebrew, directly, in waiting, I waited. And so, in other words, while I was waiting, I waited. And remember, whenever they use the two words together, it's meant to bring incredible emphasis of what's going on. And so I waited patiently, or I waited intently. In other words, while I was waiting, I waited. And so this seemed to have taken some time, but it was more the sense of the person who's waiting, their intentness. They weren't just waiting doing nothing. They weren't just waiting on God and literally doing nothing. While they were waiting, they were intent to be with God. I know there's a lot of people that talk about, I'm waiting on the Lord, but they're literally waiting and doing nothing. That's not the way that the Bible talks about waiting. You know, waiting for the Lord is a kind of a persistence and a perseverance that takes place. And so he says, in waiting, I waited for the Lord. And he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. Unlike some of the other psalms where he's asking and seeking, but there doesn't seem to be no response. But in verse 1 is really this beautiful picture. And the way it's written, he says, incline to me. Again, in Hebrew, it's imagine the picture of God in heaven, and he bends down his back, and he goes and he reaches out to David. And that's actually what it means. When he said that he inclined to me, just think of God reaching down, really bending over and coming down and to reach David. And so he inclined, he bent down, and he heard my cry. And what a relief when God hears our cry. I mean, what great joy that happens. And so, and that's why he sings a new song. We'll get to that moment. So he brought me out of the pit, out of destruction, out of the miry clay. And most likely David is thinking about all those times that he was stuck in caves, all those times that he was running and hiding, all those times where his life was in peril. And he's brought to the place and he says, and God, he brought me out of that pit. He brought me out of the destruction, out of the clay, out of the dirtiness of all these things. And what does he do? He set my feet upon a rock. And he made my footsteps firm. And so it's one of those things, the contrast. You have the pit, you have the miry clay, and the miry clay, if you've ever, you know, gone out, you just can't move. I remember we were in Malaysia on a mission trip. We're in Kota Kinabalu, and there was a severe storm that hit. I mean, it was bad. And so we're all in a van, like 15 of us in this van, obviously, too much weight, and we got stuck in the mud, and it was horrible. I mean, all the guys had to get out of the van. I was literally in mud about up to my waist, just about. And so we had to go find some wood, you know, stick it under the tire. And so three of us were pushing the van from back, and, you know, the tire wheels were spinning, and some mud was being flown, you know, in our faces. And then we finally got out. But can you imagine if we had to, like, run a marathon or do anything in that mud? Just think, obviously, we're in the jungles of Borneo at this time. And so he understands, and so he's making this contrast of this thick miry clay where you can't move, you can't really do anything, let alone defend yourself. And then what does he do? He sets my feet upon a rock, and he makes my footsteps firm. It's such a contrast of what happens. You know, when God answers our prayers, this is what it looks like. We go from the mud to not only dry ground, but the solid ground. And so he sets my footsteps firm. And then as a result, what is it? He puts a new song in my mouth, a song of praise toward God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And so this is the reality. Sometimes difficult things that you go through and God comes through, you know what it does? It causes people to praise the Lord. It causes people to sing. It causes people to trust God. That's why there's something powerful about testimonies. You know, I heard this black preacher. They're so eloquent. And he says, you know, turn your test into a testimony and turn your mess into a message. And that's basically what happens. God, we were in difficult situations. God rescues us. And as a result, we have a story. We have a testimony. And when we share that testimony, people will see in their fear, and they'll trust in the Lord. They sing to him a new song. And so now David goes into a different part. Verse 4, he says, how blessed is a man who has made the Lord his trust, and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with thee, and I will declare and speak of them. They would be too numerous to count. It sounds very similar to Psalm 139. And it's the same idea that the thoughts that he has for us, the attitude of God's heart for us, it's unfathomable to understand this. You know, why he would choose us, we are the wonders that he's done in our lives. If we think about it, it's incredible to imagine why God loves us so much. That's basically what David's trying to get to. How blessed is the man who has made his Lord his trust. And it's amazing that God would love us so deeply, so dearly, that even his thoughts over us, it would be too numerous to count. And then verse 6 and down, we basically get to a foreshadowing of the cross in Christ. Look what he says. You think about the times that he's writing this in. He's dropping a bomb. He says, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. Look what he says here in this place. He says, sacrifice, remember, so four categories he lays out here. And this is basically the Jewish system of atonement. The Jewish system, and he's basically saying this is not good enough. This is not going to work. This is not what God wants. And so the first one is sacrifice. Sacrifice is a blood offering. And so this would be an offering by blood. A meal offering is similar, offering, but no blood is involved in this. You have burnt offering, and this meant total consecration. Like you burn up the whole thing, absolute consecration. And then sin offering, this is offering that's made on behalf of your sins. And so David basically lays out the atonement process of all of Israel. And what does he say? He says, this is not what God wants. It's foreshadowing. God wants something else. He's looking to something beyond what they're doing at this time. This is really great revelation. Can you imagine? I mean, this is basically the core of Jewish religion. And he's saying, we're doing it wrong. In other words, this is not what God wants. And we see, actually, we'll see through the Psalms, we'll see it through Proverbs, or through some of the writings of the prophets, and we'll see in the New Testament that really at the heart of it, what God doesn't want these sacrifices. What does he want? Obedience. Obedience. Remember, obedience is worth far more than sacrifice. That's what he tells Saul through the prophet Samuel. Here's now the messianic part is coming in. Then I said, behold, I come. David is really moving into first person, but he's really relaying the story of Jesus. It's a foreshadowing of the Messiah that's coming. And as in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Yes, it is written of David, but it's more so written of Christ. And then this is the theme. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. This is actually Psalm 37. We just did that just a few chapters before. But it's a foreshadowing of what's to come. And isn't this true about Jesus? Even in his darkest moment, I mean, the darkest, darkest moment that he's had on earth. Do you remember what he said? Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but let your will be done. Even in his lowest moment, he still delighted to do the will of God. I always do the things, Jesus says in John, that are pleasing to him. This was his heart. I proclaim glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. He is the preacher of preachers. O Lord, you knowest. I've not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I've spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Thou, O Lord, will not withhold thy compassion from me. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continue to preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. I mean, this is true of David. This is more true of Christ. That he's, even in his death, remember, he's surrounded by the transgressors. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. Now, obviously, Jesus did not commit any sins. We know this. But this phrase is also true of Christ as well. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul writing with incredible inspiration, he says, he who knew no sin became sin in our behalf, that we may attain the righteousness of God through him. And so in that sense, on the cross, the iniquities, and right, Christ could rightly say, my iniquities, because he brought them upon himself. He did not commit any sin, but he took on sin as his own, and he basically overcame it through the cross. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Which medically speaking is true, in the sense that if you were to say this statement, this would be a true statement. If you were to say Jesus died of a broken heart, you'd actually be very accurate in that description. And so he says, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. You know, they're the ones that are cursing in that way. And let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. And this is, in essence, it's a warning. It's a warning for people that are operating out of this deliverance, that are saying you know, accusation and all these things, the aha, aha in verse 15, and that eventually there will be a place of shame as a result of this. Let's go back to the verse 8, the key. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. What did it cost Christ to do his will? It cost him the cross. It's easy to say, Lord, I want to do your will. But when it contains the cross, there tends to be quite a bit of trepidation in that way. But this is also part of his will. And so as we pray this morning, let's meditate on verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God that we would operate in that same way. That we delight, we long to do the will of God. And out of that space and out of that will, God moves. He doesn't want sacrifice. He doesn't want blood offerings, burnt offerings, meal offerings, burnt offerings. Sometimes it says, I desire compassion. Most times it says, I desire obedience rather than sacrifice. What's that pointing to? It's pointing to doing his will. Let's pray that we be a church that does the will of the Father and does it with joy, that we delight. In other Psalms, people delighted in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord has led us to his will. It's basically saying the same things. Well, let's pray this morning.
Jesus. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. Now I know. Fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. Oh. Worship you, my Lord, until the very end. I worship you, my Lord, until the very end. I worship fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
Let's pray this morning. Let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing to Him. Let our words and our actions match. God doesn't really want big gestures, sacrifice, burnt offering, obedience to His will. And let's pray that we be an obedient person, that we be an obedient church. And let's pray. pray over our community, and let's lift up those that are battling through cancers and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer illnesses. If we can highlight the first one, Pastor Andrew's father just had a heart attack. And so they had a surgery and he's actually in ICU right now. So Pastor Andrew left late last night to go back to Vancouver. So if we can just cover him and just cover his father right now. And let's lift up and... Let's pray over our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan and India, Hong Kong. Pray for our missionaries. Let's lift up S. Sophia, Jungmin and Hyunjin, SP Tokyo. Can they ask God to build their team and bring an incredible sense of unity? Let's pray for Kelly in India that continues to expand her business and really bring about her purposes there. Pray for Hong Kong. Pray for Angela and Oasis House in Cambodia and Pastor Jenny. Let's lift up. Let's cover our missions council. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really lead and guide our volunteers and Pastor Samuel to really lead our church in his missional endeavors. Let's lift up our local outreach teams, Agape Homi, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our teams that are able to go out these days and protect them and use them powerfully. Pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. November is Fostering and Adoption Month globally, and let's pray that as the Lord leads us in some of our initiatives, that God would really bless and continue to expand and grow the ministry. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. We have our all-church prayer meeting tonight at 7:30. Let's pray for a time of rejuvenation, a time of repentance, a time of drawing near to God during our time tonight. Let's pray for SPU and the youth group as well. Let's pray that as they gather together, that the Holy Spirit would meet with them. Let's lift up our pregnant women, Kathleen, Ealing, Jade, and others. Let's just really pray for the babies. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray the moms would be healthy during this time. And as they get ready for delivery, that the Lord's peace and comfort would be over them. Incidentally, today, baby Owen is going home, right? So Catherine and Ryan's baby. And so praise God, it's good news. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Elements, Go, McCain, McRobinson, McDaddy, Westside. I know a bunch of them will be coming to the prayer meetings, but the ones that are not, let's pray for just real strength. Let's pray for anointing for the leaders to lead and guide their discussions tonight. Lastly, let's just continue to lift up our city. Let's pray for safety. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to just guide our governmental leaders. Let's pray for just the grace of God and just revival to break out. Thank you, God. Lord, we delight to do your will, O Lord. God, your law, Lord God, is written in our hearts. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus every day, God. Even we're able to say, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And so help us, Lord God, help us to do your will. We We thank you, Father. We love you. Lord, watch over this house, God, especially as we come together to pray tonight in unity. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and convict us, God. Come and draw us to your Son. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and hopefully we'll see some of you tonight, or we'll see you on Sunday. God bless.